James chapter number 1, we're going to begin. I'm not sure really how far we're going to go with it, how many services. I just know that the subject in my heart is big. The subject is big in the Scripture. The subject is big to God. And I'm pretty well convinced that the subject should be big to us. Should be big to our church. It's one of the greatest problems that I'm seeing today. In churches, in our church, and churches everywhere. And I don't know all of how that God's going to lead us to deal with it. I just know that it's a lot bigger than I can deal with in one service. I saw some things even this evening. Some more things this evening studying that I may possibly preach next week, Sunday morning. If the Lord will lead that way. I need some certainly prayer and ask God to give us insight in the Scripture as we look at this subject. And there's tons of Scripture and passages that could be used to support what I'm going to preach. And when it's like that, it's hard to narrow it down to which would be the best and which would be good. And so I'm beginning now to think that God may be having us to preach some out of several of those or some of those. And we'll just see what the Lord wants, all right? See what the Lord would have us to go into. James chapter 1, verse number 19. James 1, probably the book of James is probably the most practical book, probably the most practical book in the New Testament. I remember Brother David Epps, I believe it was, or it might have been John Ricketts, an area pastor that pastored in Morristown at that particular time. He said he preached through the book of James in his church. And somebody said, "How did it go?" He said, "Well, I was looking for another church after I got done." You preach the book of James, and we have preached it here. The book of James deals with about anything and everything in your life and in our church. And as I said, it's one of probably the most practical epistles in the Word of God. But I want to look and starting in verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. So we know who he's talking to. And no doubt that word brethren identifies the saints. He's talking to the church, the people of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. Well, how do you become a brethren? How do you become one of the brethren? He covers that in verse number 18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Amen. That we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. So the only way, according to this, to be identified as brethren in verse 19 is that you have to be begotten of God in verse 18. Begotten. That word beget, begotten is a word that has to do with a birth. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is not the only Son of God, for I am a son. And if you're saved, you are a son or a daughter or a child of God. But Jesus is the only begotten Son. Amen? He's the only one. But verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, I think it's interesting that James is feeling led of God and led by the Holy Spirit to deal with saved people about their speech and about their hearing and about their anger or wrath. Verse 20, he elaborates on the wrath even further by saying, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive. Receive is the counter to or the addition to lay apart. You lay apart all of these things, then in addition to that, you receive with meekness the engrafted word. You'll never receive until you deal with the negative. You can't receive until those other things are dealt with in our life. And I believe that that's one of the hindrances to the reception of God's word is that there's on our part, the hearer, the listener, we have got things in our life that is hindering us that from receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, and I do covet your prayers tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we need the touch of heaven tonight. Lord, physically we're tired, but we're trusting that you will help us tonight with that energy, Lord, that comes from the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will take control of our mind and of our heart and help us to think your thoughts. Help us, Lord, to feel your heart and speak your word. We pray, Lord, that you will shake us to the foundation of our soul about this all-important matter that you have directed us to address. And we pray that you will help us as we endeavor to do it. And Lord, however how far we go with it, Lord, how deep we go with it, Lord, that's entirely up to your leadership and your direction. Help us to have sensitivity to know how much and how far and how long and all of that. But I pray you just help us to get it. That's my main prayer, I guess, at this point, is help us to get it. Help it to get a hold of us and help us to get a hold of it. And Lord, work in our hearts tonight. Save sinners, stir the saints of God. And Lord, help this message tonight to be a message that will stir our hearts, even as we're looking even at the beginning of revival effort here on Wednesday night. Your will be done, I pray. We'll thank you for it and give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we've chosen and picked this passage of Scripture actually just as a diving board, a launching pad, if you will, into the subject that I'm going to be dealing with for a service or two, if the Lord leads that way. I don't have anything laid out for three or four services. I just feel that this thing is a lot bigger than can be covered in one service. It's big, it's important, I see it everywhere, and it needs to be addressed. And just the addressing of it is not going to fix it. We need God to make it real to us. We need God to make it big to us and to help us in this lesson or this subject we're dealing with. Look, if you will, down in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Notice that. There's two aspects that he's revealing this verse. He's revealing doers of the word, and then he's revealing how that the doer of the word should go to another level. And that is called, and not be a hearer only. In other words, practice, put into practice what you know. Put into practice your word, God's word. Put into practice what you know. And of course, it builds on that subject all the way down through here. But here's what I want to try to preach on and try to build and begin tonight. We've all, especially in this church, as I pointed out, in fact, I used the word several times this morning, but you didn't catch it because you didn't know what was on my heart, but you will tonight. We have been, here's a word, exposed. We've been exposed to an enormous amount of light and an enormous amount of truth here in our church, and not just in our church, but our heritage. Many of us in this building can talk about godly grandparents, and we can talk about godly parents. We can talk about being exposed even in our childhood to preaching and Sunday school teaching and Bible school and just an enormous amount of exposure. But here's what I want to preach on. The Lord, it's really big in my heart. I want to preach on turning exposure into experience. Turning exposure into experience. That we realize tonight, I don't know that I do. I want to, but I don't know that I realize tonight just how blessed that I am to have been exposed to all of the truth that I've been exposed to in my short 49 years of being alive. I don't know how blessed I've been. I mean, you think about on planet Earth, how many people will live and die and never be exposed to even a small fraction of what you and I have been exposed to. I'm telling you, friend, there are the majority of planet Earth, out of almost 7 billion people, there are literally billions of people that have never heard the gospel. Are you listening? What did I do to be born right in the buckle of the Bible Belt? I mean, what did I do? Did I do anything to be born? How could I have done anything to impress God when I wasn't even born? I'm telling you, God could have allowed me to have been born in some third world country. I could have been brought up in a family that I thought was a natural thing to worship some idol. To worship some carved out piece of wood or stone. Some totem pole. And believe in all kinds of things. Witch doctors and the sun god and the moon god. And we could have been in that. I mean, we think about 1 Kings. We think about Elijah and the people of God. Now, on the other hand, you look at the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Jezebel's table and all the Baal worshipers. Well, I tell you, friend, we could have been on that side of the fence. We could have been in the Baal camp. We could have been in Satanism tonight. I mean, what have we done to have kept us from being witches and warlocks? I mean, what have we done to be exposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear Bible preaching and to know early in life that the King James Bible is the Word of God for English speaking people? I mean, what have we done to deserve that? And what have we done to attract that? But I don't think we realize just how blessed that we are. You young people here tonight, I don't think that it registers with you just how blessed you are to have a parent or parents that is interested at all in your life spiritually. For there are many more besides you, ladies and gentlemen, young people, that's got parents that don't care. I mean, don't care. I mean, they don't care where their children are. They don't even care what their children are doing. They don't care where their children are going, who they're going with. They don't care. Let them make their own decision. Let them choose their own direction in life. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. I believe the Bible says a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. I believe you leave a child to himself, he will listen to his depraved heart. He will listen to his depraved nature. He will make choices, my friend, that will cater to that bent, sinful, wicked, fallen nature of his, of theirs. If they don't have a parent that'll say no, if they don't have some preaching that'll tell them no, my friend, they're going to think it's all right. It's all right to drink and smoke dope, and it's all right to tell dirty jokes and watch filthy movies, and it's all right to look at pornography, and it's all right. They'll think it's all right to have sexual relations that premaritally, amen, and unless they've got parents and preacher and a church and somebody that'll tell them no. And you young people, I don't know if you realize how what a blessed individual you are by being exposed to what you're exposed to. And I'll tell you young people something as well as it was applied to me. If it hadn't have been for my parents, I would have never been exposed to what I was exposed to. If it hadn't have been for my parents and my grandparents, I would have never been exposed to the preaching and the truth that I was exposed to. But I just felt impressed of God that we need to begin the message tonight on that thought of just, do we realize how blessed we are to be exposed spiritually to what we've been exposed to? Are you listening? I made that statement that many, when I'm talking many, I'm talking about numbers that you and I couldn't get a hold of. We can't grasp. How many people have never heard somebody stand up and preach? Probably never heard somebody give a good, clear presentation of the gospel. Never heard of Jesus Christ. They wouldn't know Jesus from a hole in the ground. Are you listening? Just don't know. Just don't know. And I'm afraid the church has dropped the ball. The church in general has dropped the ball about getting the gospel around the world. Amen. More interested in building roadside kingdoms than we are getting the gospel around the world. And there's people going to live and die outside of a witness of creation in their life. They don't know there even is a God. But we know in Romans 1 that God, their creation witnesses against them and of the creation of God. But here's another point I just wanted to share, getting our minds going on the subject tonight is that many of them have not been exposed to what we've been exposed to spiritually. But you can look at that backwards too. Neither will I be exposed to a lot that they've been exposed to. I mean, you count on look at how blessed you are tonight, because there's a lot of things in this world you don't know nothing about. Amen? Oh yeah, praise God, that's right. That's good, isn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful to raise children up till they're on way on up in their teens before they ever even know what a curse word is? And if they heard one, they wouldn't be able to identify it. They wouldn't even know what it is. Because their ears would be so innocent and their heart innocent. I wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, my soul. But I'll never be exposed to a lot of things that is out there because of the spiritual things that I've been exposed to. But exposure must precede experience. The devil can never get you to experience sin till he first exposes you to it. And I want to say to you young people tonight, all of us, let's just say to all of us tonight, you better be careful at what you expose yourself to, what you allow to get exposed to you, because once you know it, you're going to have to deal with that the rest of your life. Once you see it, you'll have to deal with that the rest of your life. Once you taste it, you'll have to deal with that the rest of your life. Once you try it, you'll have to deal with that the rest of your life. So you better be careful at what you choose to allow to be exposed to your eyes and to your ears and to your heart. I'm going to tell you, friend, you better be cautious of that. You better be cautious of that. Because experience can never come until there's exposure. Worldliness. You know what worldliness is? It's putting into experience the exposure of worldliness. That's what it is. Being exposed to it and put it into practice. Being exposed to it and put it into your lifestyle. And I want to tell you, friend, that's what's killing our churches. I mean, you can throw a lot of things in the pot as to what's the reason and what's the excuse for the deadness in our churches and the decline in our churches and the emptying out of churches and the disinterest in churches and all of that. But if after you boil it all down and pour it out, you know what you've got? You've got carnality. That is the ultimate number one killer of spirituality. Amen. Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death. Amen. In fact, listen, I know where we're at. We're in RBT right here. And I know where we're at, and I know what's preached here, and I know that, and I'm blessed the Lord for where God's got us. But you would be shocked, I'd be shocked, we'd probably all pass out if we knew how much worldliness is in this church. Because worldliness, buddy, is a big subject. Worldliness is more than just long hair on a boy and, you know, and immorality and immodesty and things like that. Listen to the wrong kind of music, buddy. I mean, it goes deep, it goes wide. Worldliness can be in your mind, your heart. Amen. Right. Amen. I'm talking big subject. But you'd probably be shocked how much worldliness is in RBT. Amen. And boy, we need to preach it out. There's no good way to deal with worldliness. I mean, there's really not no good way to, you can't pet it out. Because if you pet it, it'll become a pet. Say amen right there. Amen. You ever had an old stray cat or dog come around? And you're okay till you start feeding it. You look out the window or out the door and you see it at first. You think, well, look at that old mangy flea bag. Man, I can't believe that. Look at that cat. I despise cats. But all of a sudden, you start feeding it. Next thing you know, it rubs up on your leg. And then it looks at you, them old pitiful brown eyes. And the next thing you know, you're petting it on the head, saying, poor little thing. And the next thing you know, it has found a home. Say amen right there. And I guarantee you, that's the way it is with worldliness and sin. Brother, when you first see it, you think, God, hell, preacher preaches against that. I am not going to listen to that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not running with that crowd. Da, 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 da. And the next thing you know, you've got a little closer. You've allowed it to get a little closer. Next thing you know, you're feeding it with your attention. You're feeding it with the amen, with your sympathy. You're feeding it with this thought. Everybody else is doing it. I know others that are doing it. And before you know it, my friend, you're petting it and feeding it, and it's a pet in your life, and then when the preacher preaches on it, you get mad. Amen. Woo! Amen, that's right. Yeah. I don't like cats. I don't like cats. That's just me. Now, if you like cats, that's your business. I mean, when I see them in the road, if they're not moving, I dislike it. I said, that's just another one out of the way, amen. But you know what? Anybody that's don't like cats, I got good fellowship with them. But if all of a sudden I started liking one and petting on one and one hanging around my house, and I'd go out and say, Gucci Goo, and oh, kitty, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Then somebody start mouthing alphabet cat, I'd probably get upset. Say amen right there. And I want to tell you, listen, you say, what in the world is the application of there? As long as you don't have it in your life, you won't mind me preaching against it. But I'll tell you, when it gets in your life, that exposure becomes experience. And it's in your life. It's a habit. It's a practice. And all of a sudden, Brother Ratcliffe preaches it, or somebody else preaches it, or whatever. All of a sudden, you get upset. Ask yourself, why are you getting upset? Well, amen. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter how much they preach. If what you're exposed to never becomes experience, then it's useless. It's useless. And I believe James 2 or 1 verifies that. That if all you do is hear it, and you don't heed it, and you're not a doer of the work, my friend, then what good has it been to have heard it? Amen. What good has it been to have heard it? How many people have turned what they've heard into habits? How many People have turned what their awareness into action. Their exposure becomes experience. What they've learned becomes what they live. Are you listening? And I preached to a lot of people even in Rogersville. And very few people practices a good portion of what I preach. That's not going to cause me to quit, and I'm not discouraged tonight. Are you listening? But I'm just saying that's the way it is. Amen? That's just the way it is. A lot of people say, well, I don't preach for results. I do. I preach for results. Why would you be preaching if you're not preaching for results? I want to see the people in the altar. I want to see people testify and say, I got saved. I want to hear people testify and say, I got help. I got encouraged. The Lord helped me tonight. Are you listening? I do. I want to see results. That's right. But as we deal with this subject, and I'm not going to get into it much tonight other than just getting us aware of it and getting us going in that direction. But I wonder how many of you in the service tonight are content with just the exposure part. You're glad to be going to a church where you're exposed to it. You're glad to be going to a church or belonging to a church where it's preached. And you're content with just that. No drive, no desire to go on into experience, no drive to be a doer of the word that you hear. Just be content. I've had people that one area or another don't practice what I preach. You know, they just don't practice it. And you know what they one of them said to me the other day? Preach, I don't do that right there. You know, and some of the things you preach. But I don't want you to quit preaching and I don't want you to change. And this was the word. I wouldn't have it any other way. Now I wonder how many more's like that. I guarantee that individual's not the only person in this building that's got that same mentality. Preacher, I don't practice a lot of those things, but I'm sure glad you're preaching it and don't quit preaching it. Wouldn't have it any other way. Are you listening? Are you listening? Amen? Come on now. But I just wonder how many is content with just being exposed to it. Just being exposed to it. Well, let me move on. Let me give you an illustration. What about the 10 of the 12 spies that went over and viewed out the land of Canaan? They had exposure. But 10 of the 12 didn't want to take the exposure and put it into experience. They went out and said, we can't do that. We're not able to do that. It was the will of God. It was the will of God for them to go in Canaan. Canaan was the will of God for their life. Even though it had walled cities and giants and all of that in it, it was still the will of God. But they went out and said, we can't do it. They said, we're not able to do it. The giant, we're grasshoppers. It wasn't the giants that kept them out. It was the grasshoppers that kept them out. Did y'all get that? It wasn't the giants in the land. It was their grasshopper image of themselves. We're too little is what they're saying. We're too insufficient, insignificant. We're too small. But I want to tell you, they should not have been looking at Canaan through their eyes. They should have been looking at Canaan through God's eyes. And I don't care how big your giants are, you put them up beside God, and I promise you they will become grasshoppers in His sight. Amen. But they come back and said, we can't do it. Even though it's the will of God, we can't do it. It's not a matter of can't. I had a fellow tell me one time, some preacher, it's hard to live up to what you preach around here. It's hard to live up to it. And I said, is it a matter of you can't live up to it, or is it a matter of you won't live up to it? I don't know of anything that I've preached in 18 years of being here that every Christian couldn't line up with. I don't know a thing I preached that every Christian, if they wanted to and will to, could do. That's right, amen. God intends on exposure to lead to and produce experience. Now I agree with this. Some parts, Lord give this to me, some parts of the world, they need a revival of revelation. They need a revival of revelation in that they've never heard anything. They've never had anything exposed to them. They don't even know nothing about what it means to be saved and the need to be saved and you must be born again. I mean, they would have the same mentality that Nicodemus did if they heard the term born again. Born again? You mean I've got to enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born? Maybe people on planet Earth today think that about being born again. Wouldn't they? No doubt. Oh, they need a revival of revelation. But I want to tell you, I don't believe this church needs a revival of revelation. I think we need a revival of implementation. Implementing into our life what we have already had revealed to us. I tell you what, it'd break out revival tonight. Not Wednesday, not when other time. I'm talking about tonight. You know what would break out revival tonight here at Rogersville Baptist Temple? I tell you what would break it out. If every child of God in this building would start tonight getting rid of everything in their life they know is wrong and start doing what's right, tonight it'd break out. Break out just like that. It'd break out just like that. Revival will not come to most churches, and what little does come will soon dissipate just like a good hard rain on a dried up ground. It won't last long. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, they will not implement it into their life. Just like that scripture, Brother Stallard, you opened Sunday school with this morning that I preached on over yonder about digging ditches. That illustration right there, God told them, make this valley full of ditches. What if God had set the rain and they didn't have the ditches? It would have just been a little quick thing that would have ran off and been done. But they dug ditches to hold the water that God sent. Amen. Oh, we need to fill our life with reservoirs. We need to fill our life, my friend, with ditches so that when God reveals to us, we will have ditches to implement those things and hold them things and make sure they don't leak out and run off and dry up. We don't need a revival of revelation as much as we need a revival of implementation. Exposure is truth revealed. Implementation is truth realized. Did you get that? Exposure is truth revealed. Implementation is truth realized. Truth realized and made practical in your life. Well, I don't know how many people that I've dealt with in the ministry. I don't know how many people I've dealt with. And they'll call me on the phone, or I'll meet with them, and I listen to them. And I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I don't say it to them a lot of times because I don't want to discourage them even worse. But as they tell me their problem, they tell me their issue, they tell me the situation, you know what I say to them? If you would have been here at church the other week, I dealt with that. If you'd been here such and such time, if you'd been listening, if you'd been faithful to church, I promise you that most counseling that you ever need will come across that pulpit. Amen. Most counseling that you'll ever need, if you'll listen, my friend, will come across the pulpit somewhere along the way. Amen. I guarantee you we got people that's not here tonight that could be. Guarantee we got people that could be here tonight, should be here tonight, ought to be here tonight, but are not. That's right. Let me run through this. Y'all, you know, you won't be able to write all these down. You won't be able to write all these down, but you can. You can get them after service, whatever. But I want to just throw up exposure and experience side by side. And to drive it home, the difference. Exposure it deals with God moving toward you. When God has exposed you to something, that's Him moving toward you. That's Him advancing toward you. But experience is me moving toward God. Exposure is outward. Experience is inward. Exposure is taught. Experience is caught. Exposure, my friend, is learned. Experience is lived. Exposure is general. Experience is personal. Oh, this is good. I'm telling you, some of these are good now. Exposure is what you have been around or what has been around you. Experience is what you've been in and what has been in you. There's a big difference of what you've been around and what you've been in. The exposure of the world will never become experience as long as you're just around it. It's got to get in you before it'll become experience. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're in it, we're around it, it's everywhere. Amen. You'd have to be a, what would you have to be? A hermit? Or you'd have to be a, what am I thinking here? You'd have to be in a monastery somewhere, in behind big, high, thick, closed walls, amen, by yourself. And even though at that condition, Brother Brian, big high walls, all by yourself, nobody else around you, you'd still have old Adam in there with you. You'd still have that old Adamic nature in there with you called flesh, called self. You'd be in there arguing with yourself for long. You'd be mad at yourself for long. Say amen right there. Brother, you don't have to be around the world to be a sinful somebody. You just let your flesh get in the driver's seat. Your flesh is the culprit of failure more times than the world is. Amen. Well, amen. Exposure is what you've been around. Experience is what you've been in. Well, y'all ready? Oh, we got some more. Here it comes. Exposure comes indirectly from others' experience. That's what exposure is. It comes indirectly from the experience of others. Experience, on the contrary, comes directly, enabling you to expose others. Those that exposed you to certain things, they had the experience. And through their experience, they exposed you, whether it be on a world note or whether it be spiritually. I mean, you think about a lot of things, Brother Frankie, that we've been exposed to spiritually. It come through a preacher or an elderly saint of God or somebody that had experienced himself. And through their experience, my friend, we were exposed to that. Well, I'll never forget it. Starting out preaching the gospel, 20 years old. And I'll never forget being exposed to Dr. Harold Seiler. And Dr. B.R. Lakin. And Dr. Billy Canoy. And a lot of those great men of God, I could name a list. And boy, I thought, man, listening to them preach and hear them tell about their experience of being filled with the Spirit. Hear them tell about their experience of intimate prayer. How that God moved and how God anointed and how God answered prayer. You know what I wanted? When I was exposed to that, I said, oh God, I want that. A lot of times, friend, even as a young man, 20 years old, still a young man, amen. And even at 20 years old, preaching the gospel, when I'd go to camp meetings or go to revivals or whatnot, I didn't hang around the other 20-year-olds. I didn't hang around the teenagers. I found the older men of God and the older saints of God. And I'm telling you, I was all ears. I'd try to sit with them at the table. I'd try to get close to them. I'd try to catch them after service and ask them a question or two. Why? Because I wanted exposure. Because I didn't know exactly how to word it then, but I'm wording it now. I know now that experience will never come apart from exposure. And that's why I want to preach. I want to preach even where you're not living to expose you to a deeper walk. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. How could you grow, church? Church, how could you grow tonight if all I ever preached was where you're living? You young people, if all I ever preached is this Sunday is what you know that I preached last Sunday and the Sunday before, then how could you grow? Amen. When the Israelites come out of Egypt, they was on new ground, buddy. Going through that wilderness in Canaan, that's all new ground. Brother, growth is new ground. We need to conquer some new ground. Oh, I agree. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need new music. I'll tell you what we need. We need a new fervor and a new zeal and a new devotion to practice what we already know. Well, I got to hurry, man. Exposure is second-hand knowledge. Experience is first-hand knowledge. Let me ask you something tonight. How much do you know about God firsthand? Oh, I'm not talking about what you've heard me preach, what you've heard your Sunday school teacher teach, what you heard your parents say. I'm talking about what do you know? How much do you know about God, young man, young lady? How much do you know about God, not from hearsay, not from reading it out of a book, because it happened to you? Exposure involves somebody else. Experience involves me. You can tell me till you pass out that you've been to Disney World and about all the rides and all of that, but I'll tell you that's nothing until I go. See, you go, you talking about it, you know, that's exposure. Tell me where it's at. Tell me what rides are there. Tell me this and that and whatever else, details. That's all exposure. But that don't mean near nothing to me until I walk through the doors. Till I've got my ticket. Are you listening? Boy, I'm telling you, we need a revival of experience in our church. Taken from exposure. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, we need some adults in here exposing spiritual things to these young people. Not just me preaching it. That's a given. That's a given. There's no excuse for that preacher not preaching it. Are you listening? And if any of our young people ever goes astray, it will not be because they've not heard it. It will not be because I've not preached it to them. I'm going to at least try to do my part of preaching to them and try to practice and try to live in front of them and try to be an example to them. Are you listening? If they go out in left field and go astray, it'll be willful ignorance and willful rebellion against what they've heard preached here. But I tell you what'll help more than anything is, brother, here, see the parents and see the preacher as a team exposing to these young people. They get it at church and they get it at home. I mean, get a double dose, Brother Dale. I mean a double dose. Get it in the Sunday school room, come up out of the Sunday school room, come up here in the preaching service and get it again. Wham! That's what I've heard taught. Here he's preaching it again. And then go home and there it is again. Because you can about count on it, friend. You can about count on it that they're not going to get at school a double dose of what I'm preaching. The school system and the governmental system is not going to be an amen to what I preach. They're going to cut grain with it. They're going to counter it. They're going to discredit it. They're going to play it off and play it down. Are you listening? But we need our young people exposed to spirituality. We need our young people exposed because here's the truth, and I'm driving it home, and we'll probably hear it so much we're sick of it. They'll never experience what they've never been exposed to. We need to expose it to them, Brother Scott, in such a fashion as someone would describe Grandma's fresh apple pie. I mean, listen, brother, describe it. Describe it in detail, Miss Wanda, to where everybody you're telling it to, they're drooling. Their mouth's watering and they're just, licking their lips. They don't have it. But I'll tell you what, you ought to make it so real. You ought to make it so interesting. You ought to make it so personal. Amen. And let them know, hey, go get your bite. Amen. Well, I got to go on with my list here. Exposure is second-handed knowledge. First, experience is first-hand knowledge. Exposure is other people's testimony. Experience is my testimony. I wonder if that's not the reason a lot of people don't testify. I wonder if that's the reason a lot of people don't testify. Because testifying, real, heartfelt, meaningful, effective testimony is firsthand. You get in a courtroom for them, they don't want to hear what you heard somebody else thought you heard somebody else said that they thought they read and somebody else thought it. No, when you get in the courtroom and get on the stand, they want to know one thing. What do you know firsthand? What's your testimony? What did you see? What did you hear? Amen, come on now. I tell a lot of people don't testify because I believe I'm hitting the nail on the head tonight. A lot of people don't testify much because they are lacking experience. Exposure. Let me give you another one or two. Exposure is like the food in the store or in the kitchen. Experience is the food in your mouth. Is there any difference in that? Brother Frank, have you ever had your appetite satisfied with food on the shelf? Boy, wouldn't that be a cheaper way to go? Hungry? Don't go eat, just go walk through the grocery aisle. Just look at it. And all of a sudden you go out there, oh man, I can't have no more. Man, I can't stand it. I can't handle it. Oh man, well what did you eat? I didn't eat nothing, I just went looking. Exposure is the food on the shelf. Experience is the food in your stomach. You can't digest food on the shelf. You can only digest food in you. All right, let me go on. Exposure is content. No, wait a minute. Let me back up. Exposure is content to only talk about it. Now I want you to get this one. Now I've meditated a lot on these things. Lord's given, I didn't read none of this out, no book. God's given me all this. Exposure is content to only talk about it. Whereas experience is only content to walk in it. There's a big difference of talking it and walking it. Are you here? Listen, here's another one. Exposure is what's available. Experience is what's actual. Exposure is grace. Think of the grace of God that exposed us to doctrine and truth. But experience is not grace. Experience is works. Exposure is grace. Experience is works. Exposure is to know about Jesus or have the information. Experience is to know Jesus or have the inspiration. My last one, the one you've been waiting on. Exposure is unintentional. You wasn't planning on it. You wasn't looking for it. It just all of a sudden there it was. Somebody told you. You heard it preached. It was unintentional. But experience will never be unintentional, but rather intentional. Exposure is unintentional. It is only a possibility. But experience is intentional. And it is definitely. Well, amen. Well, all we've got to accomplish tonight is basically laying the groundwork and getting our minds thinking. And the good Lord willing, I don't know where we're going or how far we're going to go with this, but I already know I've got God started working in my heart this evening. I thought I was going to preach it tonight, but I didn't get there. When the angel Gabriel come to Mary and told her the plan of God, exposed her to God's plan, Oh, this is good, I'm telling you. Exposed. I shouldn't even be telling y'all this right now. You'll say, good, I got it tonight. I won't be here Sunday. If you're not here Sunday, then I'll know you didn't get it tonight. But he exposed her to the plan of God. Comes right down in Luke chapter 1. Comes to, I believe it's verse 38. Come on, after all the exposure. I mean, she was told she'd been found, been highly favored of God and all of this. It come all the way down to one thing. She responded to the angel by saying, be it unto me according to thy word. I want to experience all of the exposure. Son, that's good, I'm telling you. Amen. Y'all didn't get that, did you? That's big. I thought that was a nugget, man. Amen. Some of you look at me like, well, maybe you're already just full, I don't know. But we'll deal with that, the Lord willing, if He'll lead us to do so, possibly on Sunday morning. What it means when Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. I don't want to be one that's exposed to it only. I want to be a doer of the word. I want to experience. Let me ask you young people something. I'm right now done. Miss Paul said you make your way or whoever's playing. Let me ask you a question, young people. A lot of you young people in this room tonight, you've already been exposed to an enormous amount of truth. When? I want to ask you something. When are you planning on moving to the next level of that exposure becoming experience? Is there a desire in you young people's hearts that would say to God in prayer, God, I don't understand everything that's taught and preached here, but Lord, I sure want it. God, I don't understand everything that's in the Bible, but if it's in there and it's for me, I want it. I want to experience my exposure. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, to the throne of grace, Lord, I want to thank you for working in my heart. Lord, about this message and about this thought. And Lord, I believe with all of my heart that churches like this one, the problem largely is not exposure. But it's a failure to turn that exposure into experience. Lord, help us. There's room for growth in all of us in this area. Lord, help us to have the right attitude. Help us to be surrendered. Help us to be submitted. Lord, help these young people to realize, God, that the world wants to expose them to all of its attraction and all of its temptation and seeks fervently for that exposure to become experience. Lord, every young person tonight that's had experience with alcohol and drugs and immorality, every young person had that experience after having that exposure. The battles that many of us face here tonight with the flesh is because we've been exposed to it in life somewhere. And we know, Lord, the devil knows those two words and he knows those two aspects, and I can see it all in the world how that exposure produces experience and leads to experience. And so the devil is really doing everything that he can to expose this generation to sin and immorality and wickedness and the things that would go against God while we in the church are not exposed to a whole lot and not experiencing a whole lot. Certainly we're not experiencing near what we've been exposed to. And we wonder why we're losing our children, our young people. And we're wondering why that a lot of churches can even give testimony tonight that there's no young people in their church. The church we were in this week was predominantly adults and older people. Because kids today are more interested in what they're being exposed to in the world, because that caters to the flesh instead of what they're exposed to at church, which should cater to the Spirit. A lot of times, Lord, I'm afraid that kids at church are exposed to deadness and division and disinterest and so on, and it turns them away, turns them off. Father, please speak to our hearts. Take this message. I don't want it to be information only. I don't want it to be just sermons and preaching, and I don't want it to just be that. Lord, I want it to be that'll get a hold of us, Lord, and that You will show us, God, how to turn exposure into experience, how to take us from that seeing it level to having it level. Lord, I don't want to be content with just talking about revival. I want to see it. I don't want to just read about it. I want to see it. And I don't want to just tell these young people about when I got saved and the revival I got saved in. I don't want to just tell them about that. I want to expose them to that as a possibility, and that is available with God. And that they will have a hunger and a desire to, Lord, have revival that their generation can talk about with firsthand knowledge. Have Your will in Your way. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.